0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scotland prepare to host Portugal at Hampden as Steve Clarke's side aim to get their first points on the board in the Nations League. Neil Critchley is named the new Hearts boss, and it's a year to the day since Philip Clement took over at Rangers. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans.
Milestones are us at Hampden tonight. We've got Steve Clarke surpassing the number of games in charge of Scotland held by Jock Stein and Andy Roxburgh, but he might also be the first Scotland manager in history to lose five games on the bounce, and who'd want that on their CV? So Bruno Fernandes, Cristiano Ronaldo, don't be too harsh on us.
It's a big task tonight, especially in the form that we're in. Not playing particularly bad, we're just losing by the odd goal. Silly goals were given away. Steve Clarke's changed the formation. He's went to a four rather than the usual back three. I think that's down to personnel. We've had a lot of injuries, Andrew. We're playing top teams. It is difficult, but we've got to start winning football games.
And despite the fact that results haven't been great, these are the nights that supporters, players want to be involved in. A big opponent, big players coming to Hampden.
I met a man on the train today coming here who told me that he'd gone down to the hotel at Loch Lomond side where the Portuguese are staying just to try and get a glimpse of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Did he bring some matching speedos? The great man himself?
No, I don't think he'd get anywhere near Cristiano Ronaldo. But it's a glamour occasion. Roberto Martinez, terrific manager, done a terrific job with the Portuguese. You're looking for an upturn. You're looking for that result that takes away the memory of one win in 15 matches. Been over a calendar year since we won a competitive match, since we beat Cyprus in Larnaca in September of 2023. But you have to look at the Portuguese team and think it would be a tall order.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Pretty simple on nights like these. Who should play for Scotland? Who shouldn't play for Scotland tonight? Are you going along to the game? How are you feeling? Are you feeling confident? Are you not feeling confident? Are you just excited to go along and see Scotland take on a big side? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. We want to get all your thoughts. We will get the team news maybe in about half an hour, maybe a bit more than that. But until then, you can tell us who you want to play in that game. I know it is the middle of an international break, but some domestic matters as well. Neil Critchley has been named the new Hearts manager. We'll hear a bit from him. Maybe you're a Hearts fan that I wonder how you feel about that, because I've seen the reaction on social media maybe hasn't been overly positive, so maybe you want to chat about that. Was that an understatement, Hugh?
Oh, yeah. I think the Hearts fans are, to say the least, Andrew, underwhelmed by the appointment of Neil Critchley. He's got a big start. He's got St Mirren at Tynecastle, and St Mirren can be a pest. He's got Omonia Nicosia in the European match midweek, and after that, Hibs at Easter Road. It's one heck of a start for Neil Critchley.
Yeah, Hearts fans, get in touch over that. And Rangers fans, this one for you as well, because it is officially a year to the day since Philip Clement took over as Rangers manager. So how do you assess the last year? How do you look back on it? What were the good parts? What have been the bad parts? How do you think things will go going forward? What do you maybe want to see change going forward as well? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. But of course, there is only one place to start: Scotland against Portugal. Get your calls in on that. And while you do get your calls in on that, let's go to Hampden and speak to Gabriel, who can give us a bit of the build-up.
Yes, good evening, Andrew, from the National Stadium. What a big night it is for Steve Clarke and his team. They welcome the European powerhouse of Portugal, and as you said, a certain Cristiano Ronaldo. We all know how grim the results have been in recent times. As Hugh was saying, that defeat to Croatia at the weekend means it's just one win in 15 and not a competitive victory in over a year. Yes, the opponents have been top calibre, but it's simply not good enough for Steve Clarke and his side. He's changed the formation recently. We've seen that back four. And in spells, performances have certainly improved. There's more attacking players on the pitch, a bit of intent going forwards. but it's the same old story. Individual defensive errors costing the team at the back. Not enough firepower in the final third, conceding late, painful goals. It's three losses from three to start this Nations League campaign. We're at the halfway stage and relegation already looks very likely back down to League B. Steve Clarke says it'll have to be a step up from his side this evening if they're to get anything against Portugal. Of course, we touched on Cristiano Ronaldo, the 39-year-old. So you could see the mania that he still creates. Fans, thousands of them, will be desperate to see him this evening. More desperate to see Scotland win. We'll have to wait and see. Team news, I'll bring you that when it comes, Andrew. We're expecting it at around 6:30, 6:45. We'll see the likes of Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva, plenty of others for Portugal. It'll be interesting to see if Steve Clarke does shuffle the pack a bit from the weekend. Of course, the team still hampered by so many injuries. But as I said, team news when it comes. Kick off here, 7:45.
There's a man there that could get away with the trunks. That's a very man. That's our Cristiano Ronaldo.
He 100% owns them as well. 100% owns a pair of Speedos.
He would get away with them, no problem. He's our Ronaldo of Hampden tonight.
And he's maybe known a bit, Cristiano Ronaldo, for his vanity as well. I was sent a photo about 5 minutes ago of Gabs setting up, not by Gabs, someone else sent me the photo of Gabs setting up for, if you're watching the live stream, you'll have been able to see that Gabs was on FaceTime to us there. Doesn't quite work on radio, but if you're watching on live stream, we could see him live at Hampden there. And he had a clip-on selfie light on his phone, just so he could get the right lighting on his face as well.
He's a man.
Going all out.
I can't believe you're revealing all the tricks of TV, Andrew. It's how the teeth look so white.
Yeah.
Oh,
He's had the strips in as well, just before he's gone on there. He's got like a Kyogo gum shield.
Yeah.
Oh, there's somebody saying
that's his fan club.
Yeah.
The one guarantee you have, Gabs, is that I didn't understand a word you said about any of that TV stuff.
That is good. That is good because, as Stephen Mill said earlier on, just in the link into this show, the game is on YouTube tonight.
Yeah.
You would have been in a world of trouble, wouldn't you, if you had to sit at home and watch the game? How would you have accessed it?
He's got to listen to it on radio.
Yeah.
He's got an old style.
I am. But the two grandchildren who could have helped me achieved a big ambition for themselves today. They went off to Belfast to see the Titanic Museum. So that with them went my last chance of YouTube. So I am at the wireless.
There we go. You can tune in to us for now on YouTube and then switch over to the game later on. That's a 7:45 kickoff. We'll go back to Hampden to get the team news from Gabriel in a bit. And you can get in touch 0141 951 1025. As I say, we will go back for the team news. Do you expect Steve Clarke to mix it up much tonight?
It's going to be interesting to see how he goes tonight. I think he'll stick to the back four.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any doubt in that. I think he's sort of made his mind up in this campaign. It's going to be a back four because obviously personnel. You just wonder if he'll throw a spanner in the works, Andrew. He tends not to.
No,
but it'll be interesting to see what he lines up with tonight.
I think the area of conjecture for me would be Ben Doak. I think the players will be lifted by the whole occasion tonight. It is Portugal. And we know the litany of star names. And it will be a full house, in spite of the fact that we've only won one game in the last 15. The crowd would want to see Ben Doak. They'd want to be lifted by Ben Doak. I just wonder, Steve Clarke being the cautious type of man that he is, and he dropped all the hints about, I want Ben Doak for coming years, not for coming months. I just wonder if he'll say, well, he had a good...
But sometimes as a manager, Hugh, and I've been there as a young player coming through at Rangers and teams like that, and you've got terrific players in front of you, you get your opportunity, you're excited. Sometimes it's up to the manager to take you out and put you back in when he feels it's the right game for you, when it's ready. You're right. I think if Ben Doak comes out the tunnel tonight, starting, there'll be a big hype on him because everybody thinks this boy's got to be a superstar. He's certainly got the ability to do that. He's now at Middlesbrough. He's getting game time. He's got himself into the full international squad. But sometimes you just can't throw everything, especially tonight, because you're up against world-class players.
0141 951 1025 is the number you need. Nadim is up first. Nadim says you're from Livingston, but I believe you're on your way to Hampden, is that right?
That's right. I'm on my way just now on the M8, yeah. Just heading through with my little boy.
You looking forward to it?
I think my boy's looking forward to it more than I am. He's desperate to see Ronaldo. He's only 7 years old, so he's absolutely desperate to see Ronaldo. But I'm a bit more, I think, measured in my approach. I just think that my point, Andrew, was around the kind of doom and gloom that's been going on around the Scotland football team recently. And I understand that to a certain degree. You know, it's 13 competitive games that we've not won in, and you know, since last, is it 2023, since we've won a competitive game. But what I would say is, in these three Nations League games that we've had so far, we need to bear in mind the opposition. We're playing teams that play ranked, I think they're all ranked in the top 10, maybe not Poland, but Croatia and certainly Portugal certainly are. And we've only lost by a goal to three of those sides. You know, to each of those sides, we've only lost by a goal. And we've played really well in certain patches. So I think, personally, I think we've done okay. I don't think we've anything to be ashamed about. I think Tanami, as they go along today to Hampden, should be proud of the boys and should get behind the boys. And in all probability, we'll probably lose. But, you know, we're the only home nation to be at the top table in terms of the Nations League. So we should be proud of that and go and support the boys.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to what sample size you look at for Scotland, because you can say it's one win in 15, which it is one win in 15. You can look at the performances in the Euros, which I think collectively everyone says were disappointing. If you look at those last three games in the Nations League, yes, it has been three defeats, but it's been three narrow defeats to three very good sides. And I think the performances have been a lot more promising, haven't they, than it was before that. Yeah. But there is that bigger picture of Scotland have only won one game in 15 and it was against Gibraltar.
Well, you know, Nadim used the word ashamed. There's no reason for anyone to be ashamed. And that's perfectly true. But I think there is a time when you have to reflect. More than a calendar year has gone by without winning a competitive match, and that was against Cyprus and Larnaca. The only win in the 15 was against Gibraltar, and we made a three-course meal of that. I do understand that tough opposition, but it's international football. If we keep going on about we want to qualify for the next World Cup, well, my guess is that when you get to the World Cup, there'll be tough opposition. So what do we want? We only want to play teams that we can beat.
See, I agree with you, Hugh, and I'm listening to him. They're saying the first thing he says was, well, expect to get beat because they're playing Portugal. I don't think we can get in with that mindset. Of course we're in against good opposition. You look at the group we're in, good quality teams, world-class players. But you look at the best example international football was at Wembley the other night there. You know, when Greece, who were absolutely brilliant against England, and had the ball in the back of the net four times. And, you know, England, when they go to tournaments, are fancied to go and win them. And they absolutely outplayed them. So I think you've got to give up this, OK, we're up against top quality teams. Does that mean we can't win? We're at home tonight. We've beaten Spain. You know, so it will be difficult. But I think we've got to be a little bit more positive.
I also hear the argument about, oh, we picked friendlies that were too hard. Is that what we've become? You know, we mustn't go looking for people who are inferior so that we can get a win and we'll all
but
feel
better.
But
is there maybe just a balance to strike there that instead of picking, you know, your France's and your England's, that you maybe play one of a France or England and then play someone that's more at your level, testing yourself against, you know, a range of teams rather than playing against sides? And I know the build-up to the Euros, Scotland played Northern Ireland and Gibraltar as well. So, I mean, they weren't the top level of opposition.
I think what we have going on at the moment is the Clark conundrum. The manager has been in place for 5 years now, and we did qualify for two tournaments, two Euros, and he's quite right to pat himself on the back for having done so. But we had two very bad Euros. We had six games and we weren't any good. So 5 year period of time, we've arrived at that moment where some fans think his time is up, some fans think his time should be extended, and I'm just looking at performances. We have to start doing better than we have been doing.
I wouldn't be crying for Steve Clark to be sacked, right? I'm not in that camp. I know other people that got along there and the Tartan Army that follow them everywhere, from one country to the next, and pay a lot of good money. And I totally understand what their situation is, because you do look at the record. I think we are in a difficult group, but I think we've got to be more confident in going winning games, because it's been shown. But this record can't keep going on. You know, if it goes 1-16 and then one, so all of a sudden there are a time period, no matter what goodwill you've got in the bank with Scotland, there will come a time where you go, right, okay, you need to start winning games somehow.
In terms of team news, Nadeem, what changes from the other night? Does anything need to change from the other night? Who should come in? Who should maybe drop out?
See, before going to Andrew, I just like to say I didn't say, as Gordon says, that I expected Scott us to lose. I don't expect that. I just think that if in all probability, if Portugal play well and we play well, they'll win. That's what I'm saying. But absolutely, you know, if we play well and they don't, then we've got a great chance of winning. In terms of team news, yeah, I thought Doak was absolutely brilliant against Croatia, and I hope he gets a nod and he gets to stay on. And the team, I think that's important. I think also not just for himself, but for the Scotland team as well. I think that the fans, because he's got that bit of I think class, where he's probably the only player in the team so far, I think, that looks to be so direct, that he looks to take players on, you know, and we've missed that. So hopefully Doak starts, and I think. I'd be great to see him maybe drop a central defensive midfielder and go with maybe a more attacking midfielder, but I don't think he will. I think Gilmore and McLean will start, because I think that's the type of manager he is. And I understand you're playing Portugal, they're a world class side, but yeah, if Doak starts, and I think I would probably go with Shea Adams up top rather than Lyndon Dykes for this game, but yeah, we'll see what happens, I suppose.
You've got one guy who's in the third tier of English football, Lyndon Dykes. And you've got another guy who's gone to Serie A with Torino and has started very well. For me, it has to be Adams up front from the start with Dykes on the bench.
Would you go along with that, Gordon?
Yeah, probably would. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was Dykes, because he likes Dykes. Gives him that out ball. I think, look, I know where Hugh's coming from, where the levels are playing it. But Dykes works a shift for Scotland. He's not the quality of Adams, but Adams hasn't been brilliant lately as well. So it just depends how he sees when we get the ball tonight, how we're going to use it. Are we going to go a wee bit more direct? If that's the case, I think he will go for Dykes. If we're going to try and get in behind Portugal, I think he'll go with the pace and the movement of Adams.
Well, thank you to Nadeem. I hope you and your boy enjoy the game. You can get your call in 0141 951 1025. And while you do that, I'll tell you about this.
£300,000.
Yeah, just a few days from now, you could have more money than you know what to do with. I'm talking about £300,000, which we guarantee will pay to one lucky person. If you want to win that money and change your life forever, enter now for your chance to bag £300,000. Text YES to 61025, text or £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website, where online entries are £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this rail network competition are on our website. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday, where Gemma Atkinson will make the call. It's really easy. There's no phrase that you need to say. There's no amount to remember either. You don't have to pick up in 5 rings either. All you need to do is just answer the phone, and £300,000 will be yours, paid into your bank account straight after the call. It's a guaranteed winner as well, so someone will win the lot. So for your chance to win £300,000, text YES to 61025 now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dalziel on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we build up to Scotland against Portugal at Hampden in the Nations League. If you've got any thoughts on that ahead of kickoff, maybe you want to talk about team news, who should play, who shouldn't play in that game? What should Steve Clark do with the team? 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, it's been a year to the day since Philip Clement was appointed Rangers manager. How do you reflect on the past year? What do you want to see going forward? And Hearts fans as well, maybe you've got some thoughts on the appointment of Neil Critchley, who is your new head coach. 0141 951 1025. The last caller, Nadim, he mentioned Ben Doak, who we talked about earlier on. Is there a real balance to strike when it comes to Ben Doak in terms of fans want to see young players thrown in because they're exciting and they could be the next big thing? And he's obviously shown in flashes what he can do. But Steve Clark spoke himself yesterday about, you know, not wanting to give in to the hype and, you know, maybe wanting to just sort of limit him a wee bit just to not put him out there and expose him to everything as such a young player?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, he played against Croatia at the weekend and lit up the place at a time when we are short of electricity. So he hasn't played much club football. He's young, fresh, lively, ready to go. I don't see why he shouldn't play tonight from the start, but Steve Clark is that kind of hyper-cautious man. My guess is he won't play from the start, and that would disappoint me.
I agree with you. I think that he's a young lad that's come in. These young kids play with no fear now. You know, they're so confident in their own ability. He's at a massive club. He's went out to Middlesbrough. He's getting that confidence with game time, Andrew. So there's no point just putting him in for one. Get him back in. You know, you're at Hampden tonight. They're a full house here, terrific atmosphere against Portugal. This is the kind of guy, this is the kind of game this young lad could just rise to. You know, it's going to be a big ask, of course it is, but he's certainly got the ability. For me, I'm with you. Looking at what we've got option wise, then I think he's got to play him.
0141 951 1025. Any thoughts ahead of that game at Hampden? Sam is in West Calder. Sam, what are you thinking?
All right, boys, how we doing?
Good.
Hi, Sam.
Listen, it's not been going well, has it? I mean, a calendar year, no victories. It's just
one victory, but against Gibraltar. But I take your point, Sam.
Aye. So it's just his team selection. I can't understand it. So just as an example, he's brought in Nicky Devlin, right? Now, I'm assuming he's brought him into the squad for his performances against Aberdeen. And I'm not saying he should ever be played, but he's been packed because we've played with injuries. But what's the point in calling him up? I mean, he's been called up for his performances for Aberdeen quite clearly. They're off to 100% start in the league. So what's it, again, and I know Ralston's been the man to be playing the new, but I just, and then he's playing other boys in the team as well, like Hanley. They're not playing their games. And then everybody at the Euros could see, make the subs early. He didn't do it, and then the performances were poor. I mean, I don't know. He had no issues playing, what's his name, the boy from Millwall, O'Donnell. He had no issues playing him a few years ago.
Is the problem just availability, though, Sam? Because Stephen O'Donnell at that point really was one of the only options at sort of right wing back. He did a job for Scotland. There was then the emergence of Aaron Hickey and Nathan Patterson, who have both done well for Scotland but are both out injured at the moment. Anthony Ralston has come in. If Anthony Ralston's in and you've got no Hickey and you've got no Patterson, there needs to be another player in that position that comes into the squad. Clearly on form, Nicky Devlin has earned his spot, but does he then need to play if Anthony Ralston is the player with 15 or so caps that Steve Clark has seen before and has trusted before? Does it maybe make sense that he goes for him ahead of Nicky Devlin, who's never played for Scotland before?
Just because you get called up, there is no guarantee of getting a game, and that doesn't just apply to Nicky Devlin, it applies to all of them. Anthony Ralston's always the whipping boy, always the scapegoat, because he doesn't get a regular game for Celtic, and he won't get a regular game for Celtic for as long as Alistair Johnston's in the queue in front of him. But he comes in and he performs honestly for Scotland. Sometimes he is exploited by the opposition, and other times he holds his head up. He's clearly not the first team choice for Steve Clark, but as you say, Andrew, circumstances have brought about this situation. And I think Anthony Ralston is there simply because he has that experience at international level, which Nicky Devlin does not
have. I think your big problem is quite simple. If you're looking at if everybody's fit, I don't think any of them would be in the squad, right? I love the fact that he's given Devlin an opportunity to come into the squad, see what like it is. The lad's worked his way all through, you know, and deserves it to be there. His form at Ben Aberdeen's been very good. But Hugh's right. I think he's going with a little bit more experience with Ralston and being the Euros as well. But that experience, I like Ralston. I think he's a willing worker. I know he has his critics. I know that he's not the number one at Celtic either. But Steve Clarke's in a position where he's got two players for a right back position that if everybody was fit, probably wouldn't be in the squad.
Do you see that side of it, Sam? If, for example, the pecking order was Aaron Hickey, Nathan Patterson, Anthony Ralston, and then Nicky Devlin, do you see why Steve Clarke maybe wouldn't throw him in against what has been, you know, top opposition and will be top opposition over these next few games?
Oh, listen, I've been a bad advocate for Steve Clarke. I think he's done brilliant for this cut. I mean, I think where we were when he took over and what he's built, and like you've got to trust the man. But at the same time, I'm kind of thinking to myself, see if we went about 15 games, won one in 15 games, and this was at club level. I mean, what would happen then? I mean, I don't know where I sit, and it's because I was so disappointed with how we performed at the Euros, and I don't know if that... See if we had performed good at the Euros, and we were coming into all these games after all these Nations League games, and we had suddenly picked up a point against these teams, the pressure wouldn't be... It wouldn't be getting scrutinised as much. I don't know where I sat.
Sam is the Clarke conundrum. He's looked at the two Euros that we have qualified for. He has applauded Steve Clarke for getting us there, but hasn't been at all impressed by what happened once we were there. And now we also have to take into account this calendar year that has gone by without a competitive match being won. We won a friendly. It was a bit of a dog's dinner, but we won the friendly. And this is the conundrum, because Steve Clarke feels that he is entitled to see out his contract, which runs for the length of the World Cup qualifiers. And Sam is openly admitting he just doesn't know anymore.
I think it is all right to be in that position where you can be a bit confused about how you feel about the national team, because you can be disappointed with what you've seen at the Euros, but you can be encouraged by what you've seen in the last three games for Scotland, but you can still be disappointed by the results. And it's maybe just a case of, you know, having those feelings at the moment and just waiting to see what develops going forward.
I totally understand where Sam's coming from. I think he's not alone in that camp. I think there's a lot of Scotland fans going along to Hampden tonight, probably thinking the same thing, looking at what Steve Clarke's achieved, what he brought together. It wasn't that long ago we were taking big scalps and everybody was talking about what a terrific job he was doing. Unfortunately, Euros come along, didn't happen for us. We've not got off to a great start here. I'm not in the camp of saying get rid of Steve Clarke. Simple and straightforward as that for me. I think, in my opinion, he's deserved enough time to take us up until the World Cup. But the problem is in this game, and it doesn't matter, you can look at all the injuries, you can look at the fixtures, the hard fixtures, the hard friendlies. The point of the matter is, somewhere along the line, you have got to start winning games again.
Well, thank you to Sam. I think we will get team news very shortly. I think we can maybe go to Hampden now, actually, and get that breaking team news from Gabriel.
He's having his teeth done.
Yeah.
He's getting another selfie.
No idea what that was. Right, we'll try Gabriel again shortly. He will give us the team news. Let's, in the meantime, speak to John, who is in Coatbridge. John, how are you feeling going into this game tonight?
I'm not too confident. Evening, Hugh, Andrew and Gaza.
Hi, hello. John.
Hi, John.
Tonight, Hugh, I think sometimes Steve Clarke makes a rod for his back. He's too loyal to some players, i.e. Kenny McLean. I mean, no disrespect for the guy, but he's not good enough for Scotland now. And to me, tonight, this young boy, Gold, I know he's not a young boy anymore, but to me, he should get a chance. I think he's a great wee player, and he'll be more of a threat going forward too. I know maybe the night will be more defensive because they're playing a very good team, but
is the difference there, John, just that the two players are very different in terms of Kenny McLean is more of a defensive holding midfielder, Ryan Gold's more of an attacking midfielder. It's not really a choice of one or the other.
I know, but I think you could swap about, you know what I mean? But I don't think Kenny McLean's good enough for Scotland. And as a Celtic fan, I was hoping Rangers signed him in the summer, but unfortunately didn't, you know what I mean? That's my opinion. I think this boy Gold, even he deserves a chance. He's not had a chance, and it's like we played good attacking football qualifying. Then is that the last caller said? It was in the Euros. It was very negative. It was all as if not to want to lose a game, and to win that game against Hungary, especially to win a game and they have the first shot in the 97th minute was absolutely ludicrous. So it is.
Gold's inclusion is symptomatic of where we're at the moment. Because we simply run out of players and ideas, and we thought, well, even though he hasn't been involved with the international team for years, literally years, let's bring him back. And, you know, people are saying, well, why not try him? Or Ben Doak is the next big thing. And we're looking for something that takes us out of this downward spiral, something that lights a spark under the team again. Whether it's Ben Doak, Ryan Gold, whoever.
He'll not make the changes. He'll make one change tonight. He'll be centre forward. Dykes, Adams will come in for Dykes. And I think, looking at that, and I've written the team down, the rest will be the same.
Well, let's hear from Gabriel. He's got the team news at Hampden.
Yes, Andrew, I do. I've got a hunch that Gordon DL is doing his usual Saturday full-time teaser trick where he's seen it ahead of time and knows the answer. He is correct. There is just one change for Scotland, and it's the striker. Shea Adams comes in for Lyndon Dykes. So the team is as follows. Craig Gordon in goal. Anthony Ralston, John Souter, Grant Hanley and captain Andy Robertson at the back four. It's Kenny McLean and Billy Gilmore at the base midfield with Scott McTominay just in front of them. It'll be Ben Doak and Ryan Christie out wide. Shea Adams leads the line. The one change, Shea Adams in for Lyndon Dykes. Substitutes, McCracken, McCrory, Barron, Dykes, McKenzie, Irving, Porteous, Lindsay, Morgan, Nisbet, Gold and Devlin. Big team news.
Who is sitting about on a Tuesday night texting you the team news?
I didn't see it in the telephone.
Oh, did it come up on the TV? All right, okay, fair enough.
I was on the ball. But that man at Hampden knows what I'm all about. I'm not surprised with that. I know that, you know, the caller was talking about Kenny McLean there, but Kenny McLean seems to be a big favourite under Steve Clarke. He's got to play the two sitting midfield players, so McLean will suit that role with Gilmore. The three in front, and then obviously Adams coming in, I think Hugh called it. He's playing well in Italy. He's playing with a big club. He's playing in a very difficult league, competitive league. Big opportunity for him tonight. Back four remains the same. I'm not surprised. I don't think Steve Clarke's that kind of manager that keeps changing. He'll stick to what he thinks is best.
I'm glad he's kept Oak. It'll lift the crowd. It's an unknown quantity for Roberto Martinez to consider. And he has that freshness that we've been looking for. So I'm very, very glad. And the Che Adams one was self-explanatory for me.
John, what do you make of the team?
It's a good team, is it? I don't have to agree with you, but as Ben Doak, he will lift the crowd. But I mean, so well, because boy's a very talented player. I think he's the next best thing. Unfortunately, Celtic lost him. But I think this boy will go into great things. So he will, and as Stu said, he will lift the crowd today. And just think, Daz, if you would have rivaled Ronaldo tonight for the superstardom, mate, no, if you were there.
I was a Wraith Ronaldo, mate, yes, you're correct. That's what used to happen, Kirkcaldy. People would turn up in droves just to see me with my speeding trunks on.
turn away the crowds, yeah. Definitely. Right, let's go back to Hampden and see if Cristiano Ronaldo is in that starting lineup.
Yeah, he certainly is. Andrew, Ronaldo captains the side and leads the line. It's a really, really strong team from Portugal. Diogo Costa in goal. It's a defence of João Cancelo, Ruben Dias, Antonio Silva and Nuno Mendes, Bruno Fernandes, João Palhinha and Vitinha are the midfield three. Ronaldo plays through the middle with Diogo Jota and Francisco Conceição on the wings.
Yes, that is the Portugal team. You heard the Scotland team moments ago as well, so I wonder what you make of it at home. 0141 951 1025. We'll get your thoughts next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dalziel in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio, building up to Scotland against Portugal at Hampden in the Nations League. We get the team news just before the break from Gabriel at Hampden. It's one change for Scotland, and it's up top Shea Adams coming in for Lyndon Dykes. We get the Portugal team as well. Cristiano Ronaldo starts. When you hear the names read out as well, you can see why a lot of people are excited to go along to this game tonight.
I mean,
we were just saying we'd have loved to have been there tonight.
Too cold for me. We've got Ronaldo mania. You know, you saw the photographs yesterday at St Mirren's ground. The kids all there trying to get a glimpse of Ronaldo, and people going to the hotel, Loch Lomond side, to see if they can see him. And you know, he's 39 years old, and you won't get many more chances to see him. And he's got 133 international goals, which means that Scotland's two top goal scorers are just 103 off that total.
He's got more international goals than our most capped players has caps. That's quite something.
Listen, he's got more cars in his garage than I've got goals in league competitions.
But anyway, he's been a great player, a truly great player. I think we have to, you know, people go on about his kind of public image, his demeanour, and, you know, he's out in the desert playing his football now. But this guy, a genuine superstar. And if you are going along tonight to see Ronaldo rather than the Scotland team, I don't blame you.
Let's just hope he has an absolute stinker tonight as well. That'd be good for all of us. 0141 951 1025. Thomas is up next. Thomas, what are your thoughts heading into this one?
Hi, how you doing? Well, it wouldn't just be Ronaldo, you could say that about. You've got Felix, you've got you know, there's so many Portuguese players that are just like world class, you know what I mean? Obviously, you know, Ruben Neves, or like, it's incomparable, João Cancelo. And that was kind of what, during the last international break, I feel like a lot of people were phoning up. I live abroad and I listen to you guys on Spotify. It makes me feel like I'm still in Glasgow. So I appreciate that. Thanks for that. But, you know, a lot of people, they turn around and they say, like, you know, Lee Carsley switching things. Why can't Steve Clarke, blah, blah, blah. See, at the end of the day, Eddie Nketiah would be what? He would be like, what, England's 30th choice striker or something like that. He would be our star man. Do you know what I mean? Like, Steve Clarke is a victim of his own success. We can only work with what we've got. Do you know what I mean? It's not as easy for Steve Clarke to switch things up as it would be for someone like, you know, Carsley or Southgate or whatever like that. Yeah, of course, I would appreciate a bit of change, the same as everyone else, but we're just not blessed with the wealth of talent that these nations that we're comparing ourselves to are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always been that way from time immemorial. But I think people have just arrived at a juncture, Thomas, where they're thinking, it's been 5 years in the job, we've been to two Euro finals, we didn't do well at those two Euro finals. We're always talking about tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll do this, and now the conversation is, he's got to be left to handle the World Cup qualifiers. And he will, because the SFA clearly have no intention whatsoever of looking at Steve Clarke. No matter what happens tonight, no one at the SFA will look at Steve Clarke. So he's there. We happen to have gone into a very serious rut, and we need to find a way back out.
It's fine lines. It's definitely fine. I think the Euros damaged his reputation a wee bit. Not in the fact that we weren't all going there expecting to go and get into semi-finals or anything like that, but I think the final game, I think the negativity that a lot of the Tartan Army felt against Steve Clarke in such an important game. And then when you start losing a few games after that, I know what you're saying, I agree, I don't think that it'll be under pressure now, but I don't think you can continue losing games and just say, well, hold on a minute, go to two Euros and, you know, we're building for a future and we should see him to the end of his contract. That doesn't happen in football. He has to start winning games.
Thomas is talking about the depth of the squad as well. But you just look at the players that Steve Clarke doesn't have available to him in this international window. You've got Angus Gunn, you've got Aaron Hickey, Scott McKenna, Kieran Tierney, Jack Hendry, Liam Cooper's been a big part of squads as well. Yeah. Nathan Patterson, James Forrest has had to pull out. John McGinn isn't there. Callum McGregor's retired. Stuart Armstrong's been a big part of squads. Isn't in this one either. Lewis Ferguson's injured. Lauren Shanklin's injured. Yeah. You could make a starting lineup out of players that aren't available for Scotland.
Without doubt. And the first thing that John Carver said when the squad got together was that they drew up a team of unavailables. And I'm not disputing that, and his luck has been awful. However, when all of the players that you mentioned were in the squad, we were still doing badly at successive European finals. We've simply arrived at a place where the fans are looking for an improvement in performance, certainly in results, certainly in excitement. But I repeat, no one at the SFA, not the president, Michael Mulroney, not the chief executive, Ian Maxwell, no one is going to look at Steve Clarke's position, even if we lost by a handful tonight.
One change tonight, Thomas. Was that the right one? Shea Adams in for Lyndon Dykes?
Well, to be honest, when you think back to the Euros, do you know the one thing I think Steve Clarke did get wrong? We missed Dykes, right? Which is, I suppose, a kind of a sort of sad state of affairs, really, when he's elite. You know, no disrespect, I'm not a professional football player, but I would have probably went with McTominay up front against Germany just as a bit of a target man, you know, someone to make the ball stick kind of thing. But it is, it does go to show the difference, you know, the teams that we're comparing ourselves against when we are like really noticeably missing Lyndon Dykes, do you know what I mean? And yeah, I just think that he's been a victim of his own success, and I think it's a bit unfair, really, to be judging him against people like, you know, saying that Lee Carsley and stuff have made a few changes. Like Steve Clarke's hands tied when it comes to things like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, who do we really have to choose from? Like Lauren Shanklin's bang out of form.
Thomas, who's comparing him to Lee Carsley in England? You know, it's simply not a valid argument because, as you've rightly pointed out, they have top class, in some cases world class players, and we are in poor relations.
Which is likely to happen when the nation has almost 10 times the population that we do.
But that's what I'm saying. You're talking about England and Lee Carsley and top class players to pick from. They were spanked the other night there. They were absolutely run ragged by Greece. So, look, I think the one thing that Steve Clarke achieved when he came in, he had a great bond with the players. Everybody bought into it. I think he was well organised. He had a system that fit it, Robertson and Tierney. And, lately, he's went back to back four. He's lost a lot of important players. The Euros was just one of those disappointing times. But I keep saying it, he's got to find something to go and start, even, you know, getting us a draw and then building on it from there with confidence. Because we can't keep saying the same things. Oh, we're playing okay, but we're losing games. And it's top opposition, we're still losing games. We've got to find a way.
Thomas, you said a few times Steve Clarke is a victim of his own success. You know, he's taken Scotland to two major tournaments after 20 years without one. Is the challenge now, what can he do next? Can he build on that? What is next for Steve Clarke and for Scotland?
I think when you have such a limited pool of players, that is a very tough question, isn't it? Like, I'm not really sure. Like, you know, in club football, I suppose you'd say that some managers have taken them as far as they can. But, I mean, in international football, it's not really that easy. I suppose you'd be looking at maybe trying to get Harvey Barnes on board, maybe, or something like that. But beyond that, I don't really know what Steve Clarke can do. Do you know what I mean? He's, like, his hands are tied. It's nice to see Ben Doak getting some minutes. But yeah, it's not like club football. They can't just go out and sign a striker, do you know what I mean? As I say, probably for me, maybe I'd give McTominay a go up front because we do like, I'm not saying the whole nation does, but Steve Clarke does seem to like a bit of route one sort of, he likes a target man, doesn't he? McTominay's always been good at crashing the box for Man United. So I guess a bit of a presence up front, maybe. But other than that, I don't really know what he could do. Do you know what I mean? I don't think Shanklin would hold the ball up much better. Shea Adams can run the channels a bit better, but again, he's probably not a Clarke type player. So I don't know. I guess you'd probably, for me, I think the best bet would be probably maybe trying to experiment with Tomine up front.
Well, thank you to Thomas. He was saying that Steve Clarke gets compared to Lee Carsley.
Yeah, not
a lot.
Anymore.
Well, is he going to get compared to Thomas Tuchel? It's been reported now that he's signed a contract to be the New England manager.
Yeah.
Just looking at the Scotland under 21s tonight as well. They were in action away to Kazakhstan. They needed to win to be in with a shot of getting that playoff spot ahead of the Euros next year. They needed Belgium to lose. Belgium did lose. Scotland lost as well, 3-2 away to Kazakhstan, despite goals from Lennon Miller and Jeremiah Mullen. It means Scotland will finish third in that group, so there will be no path to the under 21 Euro 2025. Unfortunately, Rangers fans, we still want to hear from you. 1 year to the day since Philip Clement took over at Rangers, how do you reflect on the last year? What have the good bits been? What have the bad bits been? Let's hear from you. 01419511025. We'll get a bit of chat on Neil Critchley being the new Hearts boss, and of course more build up to Scotland against Portugal. But before all that, we'll play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, phone now for your chance to take on either Gordon DL or Hugh Keevans at Beat the Pundit. Get your call in before 7 o'clock, 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. 01419511025. We've been building up to that big game at Hampden between Scotland and Portugal in the Nations League. We've had the team news. It's one change from Saturday's game against Croatia. It's Lyndon Dykes out, Shea Adams in. Any thoughts ahead of that game? 01419511025. Rangers fans, we want to hear from you as well. It is a year to the day since Philip Clement took over as Rangers manager. How do you look back on the last year? How do you think it's going to go going forward? It's the same number for that. And Hearts fans, maybe you want to talk to us about Neil Critchley. He is your new boss. Have you got any thoughts on that? 01419511025. But before we get to those calls, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Did you hear Roger Hanna last night?
I did.
Had the chance to go for the 10.
Yeah.
Misheard the question, got it wrong, squandered his chance.
Yeah.
He thought the question was, who was the manager at the 98 World Cup for Scotland?
It
was 1990. He said Craig Brown. But the answer
was Andy Roxburgh. Yeah.
Who, of course, Steve Clarke is going to overtake tonight, as well as...
And the legendary Jock Stein.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I hope that doesn't come up, because I've just spoiled that. But it's all right. It's not one of the questions on there. Right, let's go to the lines. It is Joshua who's phoning in to play Beat the Pundit. Joshua, have you played before?
I've played along, but not played properly.
How do you normally get on at home?
I get a few right, but...
Do you think it's going to be a different pressure being on air? Are you feeling all right?
Definitely.
Who would you rather play, Hugh or Gordon?
Gordon.
585, mate.
What, if you won your last five?
Yeah.
Did you not have a pretty poor start to the season as well?
It doesn't matter. It's all about your last five. I'm still in a job, Steve Clarke.
We should really be judging it on your last 15. That's what we do with Steve Clarke. How many have you won in your last 15?
A lot.
You've played 10 times this season. 7 wins, 3 defeats. That's a decent record.
Last 5, mate. Have a look.
It's not on here, but I'll take your word for it. Hugh is 8-2 for the season as well. Right.
I'll stick Josh away as well. That's no problem at all.
Confident talk. It's going to be heads for Gordon DL, tails for Hugh Keevans. It's tails for Hugh.
Let me stick Josh away. I'll take him.
I was wondering where that was going there. Right, we will put Greatest Hits Radio in the ear of Hugh Keevans. He's given me the nod. It means he can't hear us. Joshua, you'll have 30 seconds on the clock. Answer as many questions as you can in that time. And remember, you can pass as well, just to save yourself a bit of time if you're struggling on any of the questions. Does that sound all right?
Right, no bother.
Right, good stuff. Let's do it. Which player got the most assists in the top flight in Scotland last season?
Matt O'Reilly.
Which League 2 team are known as the Bully Wee?
Pass.
Cristiano Ronaldo scored 133 international goals. How many against Scotland?
Two.
Who's played more Europa League finals, Kirk Broadfoot or Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Zlatan.
Who did Andy Robertson make his international debut against?
Gibraltar.
In the 22-23 Nations League, Croatia set a record for the longest winning run in League A. How many matches did they win?
Six.
Okay, right. We will bring Hugh back in. There's a few wordy questions in there, I would say. But it's all right, Joshua. I got through a few, so we'll see how you fare.
Didn't you get a few right, but you get through a few.
Right, we'll see how Hugh Keevans fares. Let's go. Which player got the most assists in the top flight in Scotland last season?
Matt O'Reilly.
Which League 2 team are known as the Bully Wee?
Clyde.
Cristiano Ronaldo scored 133 international goals. How many against Scotland?
None.
Who's played more Europa League finals, Kirk Broadfoot or Zlatan Ibrahimovic?
Ibrahimovic.
Who did Andy Robertson make his international debut against?
Portugal.
In the 22-23 Nations League, Croatia set a record for the longest winning run in League A. How many matches did they win?
Eight.
Okay.
Oh, Hugh.
That's a big answer. Eight.
Ronaldo, none.
I know.
Who scored
the winner the last time? I know.
I would reckon I'd go for two for that.
How do you think that went, Josh?
They were pretty tough questions. Maybe a few right, but I think
it was quite tough, right? We started off well for both of you. Which player got the most assists in the Scottish Premiership last season? You both said Matt O'Reilly.
Yeah.
You both get 1 point. Which League 2 team are known as the Bully Wee? Joshua passed. You went for Clyde.
Joshua passed.
He's under. See, it's the pressure. It's
poor
the pressure
cut,
of
mate.
Being on air.
Get a poor cut. It goes you go.
Also, age comes into it.
That is true. That is true. 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. Cristiano Ronaldo scored 133 international goals. How many have come against Scotland? Joshua said two. Hugh Keevans said zero. Gordon DL said two. You're all wrong. The answer is one. One goal against Scotland. So it remains 2-1. Who's played in more Europa League finals, Kirk Broadfoot or Zlatan Ibrahimovic? Why do you think someone would write this question? Because the answer is Kirk Broadfoot. He's played in one UEFA Cup final technically, but it's the same competition. Zlatan Ibrahimovic hasn't played in any. He wasn't in the matchday squad for Manchester United's 2017 Europa League final. So it remains 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. Who did Andy Robertson make his international debut against? I thought you were going to get it for a second. You said Portugal.
Poland.
Poland is the answer to that one. Joshua didn't get it either. Remains 2-1. You both got to the final question. In the 22-23 Nations League, Croatia set a record for the longest winning run in League A. How many matches did they win? You said eight, which is a ludicrous number in the Nations League to win in a row. I don't think anyone will ever do that, really. It's four. Four is the answer. So neither of you got it. It means that it's a low scoring 2-1 victory for Hugh Keevans, but it is a victory nonetheless. Joshua, how do you feel?
I'm not surprised at all.
Well, hard lines. Hard lines, Joshua.
That
well
was
done.
A knockout for you, Hugh, against Joshua.
Scruffy victory.
Victories are a victory.
We will happily take that type of victory against Portugal tonight. Absolutely right. Thank you to Joshua. Make sure you phone in and play again. We want to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you've got thoughts on Scotland against Portugal. Maybe you are a Rangers fan that wants to talk about the fact that it's 1 year to the day since Philip Clement was appointed Rangers manager. Or maybe you're a Hearts fan. You've got some thoughts on the appointment of Neil Critchley. 0141 951 1025. Let's take a look at Philip Clement, shall we? Because, as I mentioned, a year to the day, 15th of October 2023 was when he was appointed as Rangers manager. I think there's definitely been some ups and downs in that time. Yeah. How would you... It's a pretty broad question, I'll be honest, but how do you assess what Rangers fans have seen from Philip Clement in that year?
Came in with a good backstory. Came in with a high reputation. Immediately wins a trophy. People are greatly impressed. Season goes on, they even begin to harbour hopes of winning the title, and then in quick succession comes Dingwall and Dundee, and Philippe Clement goes backwards, the team goes backwards, everything goes pear-shaped, and they lose the cup final as well as the league to Celtic. Philippe Clement, like stocks and shares, they rise, they fall. He at the moment is in fall. And the Rangers supporters, I think you could easily say, are split over Philippe Clement. Some doubt his ability to ever catch up with Brendan Rodgers and Celtic. And let's be honest, Brendan Rodgers and Celtic have a highly sophisticated squad, and they have terrific funds if they want to strengthen that squad. And now there comes the intervention of Jimmy Tielan at Aberdeen, and we'll find out shortly whether he's the real deal or a flash in the pan. But Philippe Clement came in with a sizeable reputation, and I think it has been gradually dented.
I agree with you. I think he came in with a terrific start, gave all the Rangers fans a lot of hope. They liked what they'd seen. Got a tune out of players that obviously Michael Beale couldn't. And then it sort of dipped near the end of the season, which was fine because he inherited a squad that was needed improved. I think now looking at the start of the season, I still think he's got a bit to do. Obviously, a lot of important games come up, and he's really got to start doing a lot better if he's going to be the Rangers manager about when they come up against Celtic. He's got to try and find a way.
Would it be concerning that a year into his tenure that we still get phone calls on this show from Rangers fans saying that they're not really sure what his style of play is, what he's trying to implement at Rangers?
Yeah, that would be a concern. And I also have to throw in the fact that he's taken over Rangers at a time when the infrastructure has been damaged because there is no chairman. Sadly, John Bennett had to step down for health reasons. There is no CEO. John Gilligan is interim chairman and holding the fort. So that side of Rangers business is not looking healthy at the moment. And Clement is there trying to make sure that performances on the park don't add to the problems. But some of his signings have been successful, others less so. And he has to be very, very careful, starting with Kilmarnock at 12 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, because he daren't lose any more ground to... Well, somebody's going to lose ground. Either Celtic or Aberdeen will lose ground because they're playing each other on Saturday. But Clement has to be careful. If Celtic were to win on Saturday, indeed, if Aberdeen were on Saturday, one of them goes 8 points ahead of Rangers. And Rangers, therefore, have to be very, very careful at Rugby Park.
That instability behind the scenes that's been sort of increasing over the past few weeks and months, how damaging can that be for a manager? How tough can it be to go into a club and the environment is ever changing, where the chairman steps down, the CEO isn't there anymore, you've got, you know, different positions high up that Rangers haven't managed to fill?
Look, he's an experienced enough manager to get in and deal with those situations. I think where the biggest problem was for him, he's obviously told that to get players in, he had to look at the wage bills, he had to cut a lot of the big earners, he had to get a lot of players out the door, then try and get his own stamp in it and bring it in. I think that's it. I think if you asked any Rangers support, I think there's a lot of good feeling about Clement out there. But I think a lot of them would say, look, we've not really seen this style of football yet. We don't really know what his theory is in football, how he likes to go about and play. He's brought in players, and I think that's where the Rangers fans sort of sit back and say, right, come on, show us now, you've got your players in the building that you want to bring in. What is your style? Which sort of football team we are? Listen, it's only 7 games into the season, but already I think Hugh's right, because you look at the way Celtic are going, you look at the way Aberdeen are going, there's a big challenge here. Some people even think that Aberdeen could split Celtic and Rangers this season. I don't think they can. I think it'll be between Celtic and Rangers. I still go for Celtic. I still think they're the stronger squad. But I think Clement's a mixed bag so far. I thought he had a terrific start to his Rangers career, but I think he's now got to try and kick on.
Rangers fans, any thoughts on that? A year to the day since Philip Clement was appointed Rangers manager. Give us a call, 01419511025. But of course, a huge game at Hampden tonight. Let's speak to John, who's in Paisley. John, how are you feeling about that Scotland match?
Hey, I'm going to see before we go any further, why are we talking about Rangers are right in Scotland? They're playing a game, right?
Because it's a year to the day since Philip Clement took charge. So it seems quite topical to reflect on the past year. We have talked about Scotland for the first hour of the show.
As I said, so why are you bringing... Celtic struggled Gordon, Celtic struggled on Sunday, but forget about that, right? So whatever you're saying. First point is...
Why are you calling him Gordon when his name's Andrew?
Maybe he was talking to Gordon Dale.
Gordon Dale.
Ah, no, you weren't, John.
Can you give me a minute, please, if you don't mind? Right, Stevie Clark, it's Peter Wright. Tell me why he's not been sacked.
Because, in my estimation, the president of the SFA and the chief executive have a great deal of respect for Steve Clark, and they have absolutely no intention of questioning his record. Otherwise, they would have spoken out by this time. I, on a personal level, think that Steve Clark should have gone after Germany, another unsuccessful European Championship final. But my opinion is not shared by those in authority at the SFA. They believe that Steve Clark should be allowed to see out the tenure of his contract. And I said earlier in the programme, I don't think, even if we lost 5-0 to Portugal tonight, I don't think his position would come under threat at all.
Just before John comes in, that's the one thing I do disagree with you. I think if Steve Clark had to lose five tonight, five or six, I think he'd been serious problem. I said it earlier on the show, Hugh, as much as he has got some goodwill in the tank from some parts of Scotland, you know, Tartan Army, but you can't keep losing games. I don't care what the opposition...
I think it would be at that point if Scotland took a real sore one tonight.
I think he would come under severe pressure. I think there's already doubters out there after the Euros and everything like that, right? But he's achieved so much, especially at the beginning. He brought everybody together, you know, get everybody interested again in international football. He was successful. He got us to the Euros. Yes, the Euros we can all harp on were very disappointing. But as much as this is a very difficult group with top players and top teams in it, you can't just keep losing games. And if we did take a real sore one tonight, I think it would come under severe pressure from that.
John?
Ken, see if he was a manager, a Kilmarnock, a Rangers, a Celtic, he'd been out the door 5 games ago. So, let's be honest and truthful, Hugh, it's down to money. SFA are skint.
I mean, expectations at Celtic and Rangers are very different for Scotland, though.
No. But
Celtic and Rangers are expected to win every week, whereas Scotland have been coming up against teams that are, on paper, much better than... But
Kilmarnock as well, right? So I'm talking about any Premier League team, right? They boot the door.
There have been countless teams over the seasons that have gone on runs, one win in 15, and managers have kept their jobs. Stuart Kettlewell has been through some terrible runs a couple of times for Motherwell, but has managed to claw it back. It doesn't mean it's a guaranteed surefire the manager gets sacked. But
I don't think
see,
it's, you know, John's talking about it's all about money. I'm not sure that's entirely the case. He has taken Scotland to 2 European Championship finals. That has built up his stock with the SFA. And for me, I go back to it, I think the president and the chief executive are almost in awe of Steve Clark and have no intention of questioning what's going on, even with 1 win in 15. And the question is always, who are you going to get? And I do understand that is a question that would have to be addressed, and that's the case when every manager loses his job, who comes next? But I honestly think that the SFA find no fault with what Steve Clark is doing. Otherwise, someone would have said something by now.
Not everyone has to agree with it, John, but do you see that side of it, that maybe the people at the SFA that make those decisions have been happy with the fact that over the last few years, Steve Clark has taken the Scottish national team forward? He's gotten them to 2 major tournaments after being in the wilderness for 20 years. Obviously, the results haven't been great over the past year. No one's saying otherwise, but they maybe feel that they've seen improvements in the last few games and feel that Steve Clark can get Scotland back to a place where he's got them before.
Andrew, 15 games. Right. I'm sorry, but I just don't understand. See when you see Mr. Kettlewell, he gets sacked for Ross County, right, for a bad run. Listen, Scotland, yeah, we took them forward to start with, but they've no went any further forward. They're stuck. They're snagging it, right? They're not going any further forward. So And me personally, they were skint anyway during COVID. They had to get a tap of £5 million. It's all down to money. And that's in, the
in what way? In what way is it down to money? Are you saying he's too expensive to sack, or we don't have money to bring in another manager? In what way is it down to money?
Well, will you tell me how much money SFA has got? Because they had to get a loan and they had to borrow this and they had to borrow that.
Yes, but I'm asking you to specify. Is it because Steve Clarke would cost too much to dismiss, or is it because it would cost too much to bring in a successor and dismiss him?
Both. Because he's got to sack his backroom staff. They've got to sack. So once he goes, they'll go. So basically, and then they've got to bring in new people. So you've got a toss of a coin. What, how many years' contracts have you got left, actually, by the way?
It's for the remainder of the World Cup campaign, the qualifying campaign.
So long's that?
2026.
2026. So you're talking a year and a half's wages. Do you have any idea what he's on?
Well, again, the SFA can afford these wages, otherwise he wouldn't be getting paid. I come back to the point. The SFA, in the form of the president, Michael Mulroney, and the chief executive, Ian Maxwell, clearly find no problem with the job that Steve Clarke is doing.
Well, thank
and
you.
They are not interested.
Well, thank you very much to John. We are running slightly late. By the way, that's the only reason Hugh Keevans is still here, because it's too expensive to sack him. I know. Can't
too
get
expensive to pay him.
Thank you to John.
I wish.
We will set up a teaser for these two after the break. Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Building up to kick off at Hampden between Scotland and Portugal in the Nations League is the big one. We've had the team news. What did you just do there? Just turned round and Gordon Dalziel's shaking his hand. You hit it off the desk.
No, got it. Caught in my cans.
I don't even think your microphone's working out. You're having a nightmare over there.
Hello? Yes, I'm back.
Oh, there we go. That's better. Are you just trying to distract away from the fact that you just hit your hand on the desk? And right, there we go. I will give you a full-time teaser. Remember, you can email us your questions, fulltime@clyde1.com. I like this one. I really like this
international?
One. It's very topical. I wouldn't say it's international, really. Thanks to Davy and Mary Hill from this one. Can you name the 8 players who have played with either Celtic or Rangers and played alongside Cristiano Ronaldo at either club or international level in their career? No.
Yes, you did.
A time frame is out on that one. Kanchelskis was at Man United before Cristiano Ronaldo made his breakthrough.
Sure.
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
But you're along the right lines and you're making the connections.
Larson?
Henrik Larsson, there we go. Easy as that. Of course, played with Cristiano Ronaldo at Manchester United and played for Celtic. The one caveat is they have to have played a game together.
Oh. Mendes.
First name?
Pedro.
Pedro Mendes. Very good shout. Played at Portugal together.
Come on, Hugh.
You're on fire here, Daz.
Help me.
George Cadet, too far back?
Too far back. I'll tell you what, I'll give you a bit of time. I do like that question though. Name the 8 players who have played with either Celtic or Rangers and played alongside Cristiano Ronaldo as a teammate at club or international level.
Would Jota ever have passed his way?
No.
No.
Not played for the Portugal national team at that level. And obviously a bit old to have played any youth football with Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah. Anyway, I'll give you some thinking time so far. You have Henrik Larsson and Pedro Mendes. Let's go to Simon, who's in London. Simon, what have you got for us tonight?
How you doing, guys? I can point on the Scotland game later, but a wee point on the under-21s game first, if you don't mind.
Yep, go for it.
Just watched that there. Watched the game on Friday. I'm just beyond frustrated with it. With the talented players that we've got and, you know, the ability in the squad, Scott Gemmell is a dinosaur. He's a dinosaur in terms of football. It's long ball football. It's horrible to see. With the guy, the young player of the year last year, David Watson, who couldn't even get off the bench against Belgium. You got guys like Josh Mulligan, who, all respect to him, aren't as good a footballer as David Watson. I feel like Scott Gemmell, the jobs for the boys thing with him, He's clearly not achieved anything. That's two under 21s Euros qualification campaigns that we've lost on the final day. We just had to beat Greece last time out, and we blew it. We just had to beat Kazakhstan today, and we blew it. So I think it's time that the SFAA looks at something different, goes an international route, brings in a coach who's got experience of coaching young players on the continent. You'll get the ball down on the deck, because when you've got guys like Lennon Miller in your team and you're playing long ball football, it's just not going to work. Like, if you watch the Kazakhstan game, I was at the first one at St Mirren Park, and they had such a high line. They were being exposed with pace in behind the whole game. And then today he decides to go with Ryan Oney, who's a more of a kind of target man striker, when you had Mabudi on the bench, who's obviously got that pace in behind. I think it's just a time for a sea change at the SFA, and you know, he needs to go, maybe, to bring in a coach that's got, you know, better ability at coaching young talented footballers.
You've come on a night when I said to Andrew before the programme started, we're talking about Scott Gemmell. He kind of flies under the radar. No one ever says, oh, that was disappointing. Or Simon has now broken the mould by saying something about Scott Gemmell's performance level as a manager. And it is a big disappointment. And with players like Lennon Miller and the style of play that Scott Gemmell brings to the under 21 side, he simply flies under the radar. It's as if no one pays any real attention, and Simon's brought the matter onto the table now.
But what they'll argue is, and I've heard it before for years and years, that their remit, as much as they would like to win and get to tournaments, is to develop the players to come to the top team. Now, I've not seen the game. Maybe Simon's just a wee bit angry because he's a Kilmarnock fan, and obviously David Watson would be a big favourite and terrific young player. I think we have got good players at our disposal, but he touches on a point that we've got one of the best young kids, Lennon Miller, and if you're going to play long balls and you're not playing through the middle of the park, then obviously you're doing something wrong, you're not getting the results. But they will come out with a defence that their remit's quite simply to educate these players to move up a level.
This specific qualification campaign is an interesting one, because Scotland were the pot three team in the group. The pot one team, Spain. The pot two team, Belgium. So if at the start of the campaign you'd said Scotland will finish third behind Spain and Belgium, and in the process they'll beat Belgium away from home, you'd probably think that's not a bad campaign. But I think the real disappointment, and Simon can correct me if I'm wrong, is it comes down to this final game where Belgium lose to Hungary, opens the door for Scotland, and then Scotland can't beat Kazakhstan, which, you know, maybe puts more of a spotlight on it.
We obviously have no entitlement to beat anyone, but Simon is pointing out the style of the football, the nature of the team selection. And Simon, let me ask you, do you think that we ought to be capable of going to Kazakhstan and winning?
We ought to beat anyone in that group except for Spain. I don't think, I know it's all very well saying that Belgium are the second pod team, but I've seen them twice. That's not an amazing Belgium team. Even the players that they were bringing off, on Friday, who had caps for the national team, they weren't stunning performances. So, yeah, I feel like the Scotland under-21s team, it all flows through, because you need to have players who are, you know, good on the ball, which we have. We need to coach them that and play them that style. And in terms of saying, like, oh, it's all good to qualify for tournaments, but the main priority is obviously getting to progressing players. How about the players when they go to a major tournament with under-21s? They've got that experience. Scotland national team, they know what it's like.
I think that's a default setting for managers. I'm not here to qualify for major tournaments. I'm here to produce players for the main international team. I think that's the default setting, Simon, when the results go pear-shaped.
I suppose you then need to look at the history of the last few years and how ready some of the players have been making that step up from the under-21s into the senior team. But also it's sometimes down to the players' personalities and how they handle it, and it's what time they get put in, whether maybe they get their call up too early or whether it's waited too. It's really hard to judge that element of it, isn't it? How well prepared Scott Gemmell has the players for going to the next stage. The easy thing to look at is the results, and you know, Simon's obviously feeling not too happy about it.
Yeah, I think if you're a Scotland under 18 manager listening to this show tonight, you'll be frightened, because that's that's Steve Clark. Now we've got Gemmell, the under 21. Listen, I take on board, because Simon obviously watches under 21s very closely, and I do agree. I think we have got some good talent in there, but I still think that winning is part of development. You've got to go and handle these occasions. You've got to go and handle the games against big teams. You wonder how the communication between Steve Clark and Gemmell is in the terms of what style of football do we play it from under 21, so that they're ready made to walk into the big team and know exactly what's expected to them. So look, I totally agree with you. I think sometimes it does get overlooked. You know, Scott Gemmell does fly under the radar. That's the first time I've ever heard MD even criticising him. But I think Simon's got a fair point.
Simon, what was your point you wanted to make in the senior team?
Yeah, looking forward to the game today. I feel like there's maybe an air of more positivity with the performances. I feel like things are improving. I feel like people who are calling for Steve Clark to get sacked, I mean, it's not going to happen now. But if it had happened after the Euros and we bring in a new manager, you know, are you then going to be judging him on this, on these games that you're playing against? Because it's obviously really, really tough opposition. I feel like, you know, speaking to a few Scottish boys in the lockdown here, and we're all going to the pub. I'm just on my way to the pub to watch it just now with them. And I think they all are all behind Steve Clark as well. I think with the game today, we're just, what we were talking about earlier is we need to not focus on Ronaldo. It's such an obvious thing to do because of obviously his ability and being the second best player in the world. But I think if we do that, then that allows guys like Jota and Bruno Fernandes to get the freedom and space that they need to punish us. So I think that's something that we need to make sure we don't just focus ourselves fully on Ronaldo, but have confidence in the team. I always do. And I think Scotland, I would have came up for it, but I decided my journey back up the road for Kilmarnock game on Sunday against Rangers. But yeah, I've got faith in my team, and fingers crossed we can do it, because I feel like Steve Clark deserves the result and so does the team.
Well, thank you to Simon. Let's try and get more answers on this full-time teaser. It's a good one tonight. Name the eight players who have played with either Celtic or Rangers and been a teammate of Cristiano Ronaldo, played in a game with Cristiano Ronaldo.
Centre-half that played with Rangers, Portuguese, had a lot of caps. Is it Alves?
Bruno Alves, correct.
Right, here's another one. What do you call him? Mark Wilson talks about him. I don't know if the time frame. Played with Real Madrid, played with Celtic.
Oh.
Yeah?
Tommy.
Gravesen.
Gravesen.
No.
Oh! But the Real Madrid one in there?
There is not.
Okay, well, God, I thought it was in fire.
Bruno Alves, Henrik Larsson, Pedro Mendes.
Yeah, it must be somebody, Juventus. Yep. Yeah, I can see a nod.
I'm saying nothing.
Yeah, I can see a nod.
I'm saying nothing.
Who played with Celtic or Rangers, played with Juventus?
I'll let you two think about that. It's maybe the right line to go down.
Oh, yeah,
for
I know it's the right
one
line.
Of them. And we will go back to Hamden next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are building up to kick off between Scotland and Portugal at Hampden. Not long to go. The players are out on the pitch. The national anthems are on the go. We will go back to Gabriel and get a bit of a taste for things shortly. Before we do, you've got some work to do on this teaser. Name the eight players who have played for either Celtic or Rangers and alongside Cristiano Ronaldo as a teammate at either club or international level. So far, you have Bruno Alves, Rangers and Portugal, Henrik Larsson, Celtic and Man United, Pedro Mendes, Rangers and Portugal.
Roy Keane.
Roy Keane, yes, in his Ronaldo's first spell at Man United and, of course, played for Celtic.
Can't believe we didn't get the Juventus one.
Who is it?
Played with Rangers, Welsh internationalist.
Aaron Ramsey. Good shout, of course. Played for Rangers and played with Cristiano Ronaldo at Juventus. You've got three more to get. We will get those at the end of the show. Just seeing the players lining up for the national anthems at the moment. A packed Hampden as well for this one. I think the opposition is definitely something to do with that as well. When the big stars are in town, we've had a couple of callers saying, you know, bringing their sons along, they're excited to see Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, I mean, they are the definition of box office, the Portuguese. And at the moment, we are the definition of
no losers. Box office. YouTube.
We're losers.
Losers.
Well, we are. You know, we're trying to avoid five defeats in a row for the first time in international history. But always with Scotland, you have this feeling, against all odds and expectation, that something will come along that you least expect. Mm. Now, for us to beat Portugal would be something that you would least expect. But a draw would be a good result if we could manage it.
Yeah, looking forward to this one tonight. I think the national anthems are over and we can go back to Hampden. Gabriel giving us the build-up to kick-off.
Yes, they are, Andrew, and you heard that loud and clear from Hampden Park. There's barely an empty seat in the house. These fans still believe in the team. They still believe in the manager. The question is, can Scotland end this shocking run of form? The tests don't come much harder than this. European powerhouse Portugal are in town, spearheaded by the 39-year-old Cristiano Ronaldo. Kids screaming his name before kickoff. He was taking shots in the warm-up. You could hear collective C's as his name was read out before the match. He is still the star of this team, and he is the only show in town. Scotland, though, will be hoping they can make their mark. They've switched to a back four recently. It's made the team look more balanced with more attacking players on the pitch. But they don't want it to be the same old story. Three losses from three in the Nations League. One win from 15. Not won a competitive game in over a year. This is a team that Steve Clarke has chosen to break that run. Gordon in goal, a defence of Ralston, Suter, Hanley and Robertson. Gilmore, McTominay and McLean are in midfield. Doak and Christie are out wide. Shea Adams leads the line. He's the only change from the defeat to Croatia at the weekend. For Portugal, it's Costa, Cancelo, Dias, Silva and Mendes at the back. Palinha, Fernandes and Vitinha in the middle of the park. Conceição and Jota flank Cristiano Ronaldo. Scotland have got to start their forward momentum again. Pick themselves up from the deck and end this barren run. Just one win in 15, as we know. Portugal, Ronaldo, they are here in Glasgow, but Scotland are looking to prove they can punch it with the big boys. Kickoff is coming up next.
Yeah, looking forward to this one between Scotland and Portugal. There was a lot of talk, wasn't there, during the Euros about Cristiano Ronaldo and people saying that he was holding Portugal back and, you know, he shouldn't have played. And he's got 3-3, I think, in the Nations League so far, so he's certainly still a threat. Obviously, he's now a different type of threat. You know, he's not as quick as he used to be. He's not, you know, running the channels like he used to and maybe taking on as many players, but his goals record is still absolutely ridiculous. You know,
Simon, the last caller, said that he hoped that we didn't focus on Cristiano Ronaldo. It's hard not to be drawn towards this superstar of the game. But you also bear in mind that Steve Clarke is too old in the head to have everything about the focus being on Ronaldo. You know, he's perfectly well aware of the other dangers that they possess. So it's about Ronaldo in terms of drawing a crowd. It's not about Ronaldo in terms of winning the match.
I agree, because there's a lot of big names there that are playing with a lot of big clubs. And they're international superstars, these guys, that can play, very talented. You can't, as much as everyone will be looking at this guy and the terrific career he's had and the way he looks after himself as well, he's still a terrific talent. But if you just solely concentrate on Ronaldo, it gives you so many problems all over the pitch.
By the way, this is the real test between who's more popular, between Gordon DL and Cristiano Ronaldo, because people now at this moment have to choose what they want to watch on YouTube, whether they continue watching the Clyde One Super Scoreboard stream or whether they decide to watch Scotland against Portugal.
Well, I've just seen our telly going off, so I know where they've decided. We're on our own, you.
Yeah, Scotland just about to kick off. There was a minute's applause, but Billy Gilmore is standing over the ball, ready to go at Hampden for this one. Of course, the camera keeps on focusing on Cristiano Ronaldo, but it was Simon, the caller earlier on, that made that point that, you know, you don't want your defenders to all get dragged towards Cristiano Ronaldo because, you know, there's so many talented players in that team. But Scotland need to have the belief in themselves that we've got talented players as well. We've got players that can hurt teams. We've shown in the last three games that we can create opportunities, we can score goals, but it is going to be a big test.
We've spoken an awful lot about the manager and that this won within 15 matches, but the players themselves, individually and collectively, must be saying, we're being written off here. And it's high time we did something about it. It's their reputations that are at stake as well, not just the manager.
I agree with you. As a player, as much as the manager's come in for criticism, you're part of that criticism. You're part of that team. You're part of that squad. You have a bit of pride in your results. And I think they'll give everything tonight. I think this has got to be difficult. We've got to make sure when we've got the ball, take care of the ball.
It's just the curse that of you there, saying that. Grant Hanley just shelling the ball out of play.
Exactly. And there's no need for it. Andrew, he's not under any pressure. You know, if we have to keep the ball and be patient, try and do that, because when Portugal get it, they'll make you work for it. So it's what we do in possession tonight.
Look, he was just copying the best, Cristiano Ronaldo, just giving the ball away himself there. It looked as if he actually tried to play a pass with his backside almost, and didn't quite come off. But yeah, obviously still 0-0. One thing that Steve Clarke said in his pre-match press conference was, in games like this, he's trying to make Scotland a side that can have more possession against the bigger teams. We obviously didn't see that against Germany. Scotland did get more possession against Croatia, and as you say, it's just about taking care of the ball better. We have players that can do that, players like Billy Gilmore, who are good at, you know, retaining possession, recycling it, picking the right pass. And if you can do that against the likes of Portugal, it makes it harder for them to score if we've got the ball.
Yeah, and the way we've set out our stall tonight is we look like we're pressing very high up the pitch. But we've got to be careful, because if we don't get the press right, they've got the ability to just play through us and open us up. That's the problem here.
2 minutes gone at Hampden. We'll keep you up to date on what's happening before we go off air. I wanted to talk about new Hearts manager, Neil Critchley. Confirmed today, did his first press conference today as well. You'll have seen the reaction. It's not been sort of universally welcomed, I think, by Hearts fans. They've obviously gone for a different approach in terms of trying to maybe a chance for Scotland here. Scott McTominay's shot is blocked and into the arms of the goalkeeper.
I'm intrigued by the analytical side of it, the algorithms and all the rest of it. How do you arrive at Neil Critchley? Because his managerial record, assistant to Steven Gerrard at Aston Villa, that ended badly. Steven Gerrard lost his job. QPR, poor record as their manager. Blackpool, sacked by Blackpool. I don't know how the database takes you to Neil Critchley.
I think that there are just so many different factors that go into it, and they'll look at the squad of players they've got, the style of football they want to implement. When you've got a sporting director, that'll come from them. So essentially they'll look at the style of play, what managers have done previously, the success they've had in different systems. It is a lot more complex than how I've just described it, but it's sort of more than you or I or Gordon DL can comprehend, because there is so much that goes into it. And the thing is, you can do as much of that as you like, and it may well work out and you might find the perfect fit, or Neil Critchley might come in and it turns out that Hearts' fortunes don't change.
The story is they're bottom of the league and they have been shocking since the season started, hence the reason why they're looking for a new manager in the first place. St Mirren on Saturday at Tynecastle, you really and truly have to get off to a very good start. Then the European tie against a difficult side from Cyprus. And then
big chance for Scotland, and Scott McTominay, I tell you what, probably should have scored there four minutes in. It was the ball into the box, a header from 6 yards out, centre of the goal, saved by the goalkeeper. Huge chance.
Great play. I think he goes out to Doak. He cuts inside, puts it back on to Andy Robertson. The skipper picks out a perfect pass. McTominay's standing as he... Ooh, it's tight, but he's onside. ah, he'll be disappointed, yeah. Andrew. It was straight, he's headed that straight at the goalkeeper. If he goes either side of the goalkeeper, he gives Scotland the perfect start tonight.
That's probably the man you wanted to fall to,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we had again, I think it was an earlier caller who said, I'd play him up front. Well, that won't happen, but the goalkeeper should have had no chance to save that ball. Anyway, it's a let-off for Portugal. It's a bad break for us. And on we go.
That's a real promising start, though, and that's exactly what you need, I think, when maybe there are question marks about, you know, Scotland and results and whatever else. When you've got a full crowd at Hampden, you've got people that are excited for the game. If Scotland can go out in the first 4 minutes and create the first clear opportunity, yes, it's been missed, but it will give the fans that lift that something special can happen tonight. It will give players belief that if they continue to do the right things like they did there, the ball out to Ben Doak, the cross by Andy Robertson, that a goal could come.
It used to be typically Scotland that we did things we were not expected to do, and we've lost that habit. But the crowd now believe that it's on again tonight.
Right, Hugh,
let's finish off this
here.
Teaser. Name the eight players who have played for either Celtic or Rangers and as a teammate of Cristiano Ronaldo. You've got Aaron Ramsey, Bruno Alves, Henrik Larsson, Roy Keane, Pedro Mendes. Three more to go.
Three? I've got one.
Yes.
The fullback man you, Bardsley.
Phil Bardsley, good shout from you.
Don't know the rest.
Two more Man United links, one Celtic, one Rangers. One was a youngster that came through at Celtic, moved to Man United under Martin O'Neill.
Moved
from Celtic to Man United as a youngster. Midfielder, initials LM.
Miller.
Liam Miller. And one final one to go, a goalkeeper for Rangers who made one Rangers appearance.
Nemi.
Nope.
Nope.
Played at Man United as well. Northern Irish.
Roy Carroll.
Still 0-0 between Scotland and Portugal. We're back tomorrow night from 6 o'clock.